Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 29th of October 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how supercomputers are set to control the nuclear power stations of the future and how modern alchemists are turning soybeans into gold. Also in this edition, Azo Nano's David Fruin speaks with Soren Theodorescu from OptoTech about the development of a laser-based spectrometer that is used to detect impurities in water and to determine water quality. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. A tiny sensor that can detect magnetic field changes as small as 70 femtoteslas, equivalent to the brainwaves of a person daydreaming, has been demonstrated at the National Institute of Standards and Technologies. The sensor could be battery-operated and could reduce the costs of non-invasive biomagnetic measurements, such as fetal heart monitoring. The device also may have applications such as homeland security screening for explosives. The prototype device is almost 1,000 times more sensitive than NIST's original chip-scale magnetometer, demonstrated in 2004, and is based on a different operating principle. Its performance puts it within reach of matching the current gold standard for magnetic sensors, so-called supercomputing quantum interface devices, or SQUIDs. These devices can sense changes in the 3 to 40 femtotesla range, but must be cooled to very low, cryogenic temperatures, making them much larger, power-hungry, and more expensive. Researchers at the Delft University of Technology's Kavli Institute of Nanoscience and the Foundation for Fundamental Research on Matter have succeeded in controlling the spin of a single electron merely by using electric fields. This clears the way for a much simpler realization of the building blocks of a future super-fast quantum computer. Controlling the spin of a single electron is essential if this spin is to be used as the building block of a future quantum computer. An electron not only has a charge, but also, because of its spin, behaves as a tiny magnet. In a magnetic field, the spin can point in the same direction as the field or in the opposite direction, but the laws of quantum mechanics also allow the spin to exist in both states simultaneously. As a result, the spin of an electron is a very promising building block for the yet-to-be-developed quantum computer, a computer that, for certain applications, is far more powerful than a conventional computer. Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute is leading a $3 million research project that will pair two of the world's most powerful supercomputers to boost the safety and reliability of next-generation nuclear power reactors. The three-year project, funded by the US Department of Energy, will call upon a diverse team of researchers and institutions to create highly detailed computer models of a new proposed type of nuclear reactor. These models could play a key role for the future development of the new reactors, which meet stringent safety and non-proliferation criteria, can burn long-lived and highly radioactive materials, and can operate over a long time without using new fuel. Running simulations of such a vast virtual model, where scientists can watch the reactor system perform as a whole or zoom in to focus on the interaction of individual molecules, requires unprecedented computing power. A research team led by a University of Pennsylvania mechanical engineer has discovered that friction between two sliding bodies can be reduced at the molecular or nanoscale level by changing the mass of the atoms at the surface. Heavier atoms vibrate at a lower frequency, reducing energy lost during sliding. Penn researchers, along with colleagues at the University of Houston and the University of Wisconsin, now at IBM's Zurich Research Laboratory, and the Argonne National Laboratory, used atomic force microscopy, like an old-fashioned record needle, sliding along single crystal diamond and silicon surfaces to measure the force of friction. The single layer of atoms at the surface of each crystal acts as an energy transfer medium, absorbing kinetic energy from the tip of the atomic force microscope. Mm-hmm. With inspiration from bacteria and butterflies, researchers at Stockholm University have developed a new method that shows how nanomaterials can be produced in the future. Researchers have shown how a glass bottle and a simple hobby magnet can be used to produce and arrange extremely small cubes of iron oxide in a perfectly checkered pattern. The new method can give magnetic films with superior information storage capacity. To produce nanoparticles with a defined form and size, and at the same time organize them all in well-ordered structures, is one of the few realistic ways of producing tomorrow's nanomaterials on an industrial scale. It sounds like a dream, but the fact is that nature uses these construction principles in order to make the wings of a butterfly shimmer in all the colours of the rainbow and to create a compass needle of magnetic nanoparticles in certain bacteria. Bulletproof jackets don't turn security guards, police officers and armed forces into robocops, repelling the forces of bullets in their stride. New research in carbon nanotechnology, however, could give those in the line of fire materials which can bounce bullets without a trace of damage. Engineers from the Centre for Advanced Materials Technology at the University of Sydney have found a way to use the elasticity of carbon nanotubes to not only stop bullets penetrating material, but actually rebound their force. Most anti-ballistic materials, like bulletproof jackets and explosive-proof blankets, are currently made of multiple layers of Kevlar, Twaron or Dyneema fibres, which stop bullets from penetrating by spreading the bullet's force. Targets can still be left suffering blunt force trauma, perhaps severe bruising or, worse, damage to critical organs. The elasticity of carbon nanotubes mean that blunt force trauma may be avoided, and that's why the engineers in Sydney have undertaken experiments to find the optimum point of elasticity for the most effective bullet bouncing gear. A team of researchers at the University of Missouri in Columbia is turning soybeans into gold with nothing more than a little water. A team of scientists has discovered how to make gold nanoparticles using gold salts, soybeans and water. No other chemicals are used in the process, which means this new process could have major environmental implications for the future. Gold nanoparticles are tiny pieces of gold, so small that they can't be seen by the naked eye. Researchers believe that gold nanoparticles will be used in cancer detection and treatment and in the production of smart electronic devices in the computer and telecommunications industry. While the nanotechnology industry is expected to produce large quantities of nanoparticles in the near future, researchers have been worried about the environmental impact of the global nanotechnological revolution. Engineers at Florida State University's National High Magnetic Field Laboratory have successfully tested a groundbreaking new magnet design that could literally shed new light on nanoscience and semiconductor research. Magnetism is a critical component of a surprising number of modern technologies, including MRIs and disk drives, and high-field magnets stand beside lasers and microscopes as essential research tools for probing the mysteries of nature. With this new magnet, scientists will be able to expand the scope of their experimental approach, learning more about the intrinsic properties of materials by shining light on crystals from angles not previously available in such high magnetic fields. IBM has announced an innovative new semiconductor wafer reclamation process pioneered at its Burlington, Vermont manufacturing facility. The new process uses a specialized pattern removal technique to repurpose scrap semiconductor wafers. Thin disks of silicon material used to imprint patterns that make finished semiconductor chips for computers, mobile phones, video games, and other consumer electronics, to a form used to manufacture silicon-based solar panels. The new process was recently awarded the 2007 Most Valuable Pollution Prevention Award from the National Pollution Prevention Roundtable. Through this new reclamation process, IBM is now able to more efficiently remove the intellectual property from the wafer's surface, making these wafers available either for reuse, internal manufacturing calibration as monitor wafers, or for sale to the solar cell industry, which must meet a growing demand for the same silicon material to produce photovoltaic cells for solar panels. In a feat that seems like something out of a microscopic version of Star Trek, MIT researchers have found a way to use a tractor beam of light to pick up, hold, and move around individual cells and other objects on the surface of a microchip. The new technology could become an important tool for both biological research and materials research. The idea of using light beams as tweezers to manipulate cells and tiny objects has been around for the last 30 years, but the MIT researchers have found a way to combine this powerful tool for moving, controlling, and measuring objects with the highly versatile world of microchip design and manufacturing. Optical tweezers use the tiny force of a beam of light from a laser to push around and control tiny objects from cells to plastic beads. This week's Azo Nano News interview is with Soren Theodorescu from Optotech. Soren discusses the development of a laser-based spectrometer that is used to detect impurities in water and to determine water quality. The data gathered is used to ensure safety of water in industrial applications and to be an early warning system against bioterrorism.
This is David Fruin, recording for Azo Nano from the floor of COMS 2007 conference. I'm here with Soren Theodorescu from Optotech. Soren, thanks for giving us 5 minutes of your time today.
Thank you very much for attending our booth.
Can you tell us a bit about what Optotech does?
Yeah, so we are a research and development company involved in commercializing laser technology. We are designing and developing laser systems for various applications. At the moment, this show, we are presenting our technology in conjunction with specialized nanotechnology probes for SIRS, which is a surface enhanced Raman spectroscopy scattering for spectroscopic applications, and Raman systems as well, which are the traditional methods of detecting different substances in different environments. For the moment, what is important for us is to show the capabilities we have in conjunction with Swinburne University in using their technology in our systems for detecting contaminants in water, mainly.
Okay.
So this is used for all those situations in which there are hazardous substances which are present in water. They could be either biological contaminants or chemical contaminants, which can pose danger, sort of certain risk to environment or to people which are getting in contact with,
sure,
with the water.
So that technology was basically developed by Swinburne, wasn't it?
No, only the sensors are developed by them. In terms of the equipment, we are the ones integrating it for using our own technology, because we are designing and developing the laser systems ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an important technology. It's what we do. Our strength is actually building laser systems.
Sure.
So the lasers you can see here on the table are actually designed by us.
Okay.
From ground up. So you have two systems there which are standalone lasers. They can be used in other applications as well, green lasers. And we have one which is included in the spectrometer, which you can see here. Basically, we customized our technology to these spectroscopic applications in which the probes are licensed, or as a technology developer, are taken from Swinburne.
Sure. So basically, from a holistic nanotechnology
yes,
standpoint, your technology obviously has great benefit for ensuring that water is pure. And
There are many situations in which the quality of the water is important. Normal environmental applications, in which you of course want to ensure the safety of all the people which are in contact with or using water, but it's also very important in the last few years with all these let's say safety reasons for ensuring that no, let's say, sort of acts of bioterrorism happen. So basically, it has applications in many areas, industrial, environmental monitoring, but also in terms of anti-terrorist countermeasures.
Sure.
So there is a higher and higher demand in the last few years on these kind of systems in terms of being portable.
Yes.
Obviously, there is laboratory equipment which can handle this kind of testing with a high degree of accuracy. The problem is having this technology in a portable form that you can actually get results quite fast in the field.
Sure, so it's basically an instantaneous.
Yes, it's a quick testing methodology which many people, many agencies require at the moment before you go into more, you know, more in a more in-depth analysis of the water samples, let's say. So you can actually just assess in the field the safety issue, if there is any, and to just confirm the results of the first testing, you can also get some samples and send them to a specialized laboratory. But the idea was to allow people in the field to be able to quickly assess the quality without depending all the time on specialized laboratories.
So for people that can't attend COMS 2007 here today, do you have any particular message you'd like to send to them about OptiTech?
Well, I'd like to say that we would be happy to explain to them our achievements, which we are very proud of course. And possibly if there are people interested in our technology or they can offer some interesting other similar applications, we are quite happy to cooperate with them and even define new areas of, let's say, sort of synergetic approaches to customize our technology to other applications as well.
Sure. Well, thank you for your time, Soren. That's been great.
Thank you very much, Dave.
AzoNano Business News. GE has announced that it's been recognized as the world's top research and development company for proactively addressing the world's biggest high-tech challenges by R&D Magazine, a respected trade publication read by scientists, engineers, and administrators who work in research and development. GE also placed first amongst R&D facilities where technologists would most like to work. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, announced today that it has awarded exclusive distribution rights for the country of Spain to its current Italian distributor, Actaris SRI. Neophotonics announced the company has been named the second-ranked firm in Deloitte's Technology Fast 50 for Silicon Valley, a ranking of the 50 fastest-growing technology, media, telecommunications, and life sciences companies in the region by Deloitte & Touche USA, one of the nation's leading professional services organizations. Advanced Nanotech Incorporated announced that its Alstone Nanotech Incorporated subsidiary has been awarded an incremental $3.7 million contract by an agency of the U.S. Department of Defense to provide micro-miniature products and related services for detection of chemical warfare agents, toxic industrial chemicals, and trace explosive vapors. The three-year contract begins in the fourth quarter of 2007. A week to the day since NEC launched its new SX9 supercomputer, the company has its first order. Tohoku University has ordered a 16-node system that will be the fastest SX series supercomputer in Japan. The machine will be used at the university's Information Synergy Center. The center supports scientists working in cutting-edge fields such as aeronautics and space, environmental simulations, IT and nanotechnology. Nano Inc. Incorporated, an emerging growth technology company specializing in nanometer-scale manufacturing and applications development for the life science, pharmaceutical, and semiconductor industries, announced it's been awarded three additional patents pertaining to its core patented dip pen nanolithography patterning technology for nanoscale manufacturing. Well, that was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 29th of October 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.